And we turn in our Bibles to Deuteronomy in chapter 30, reading from verse 11 to verse 16. And it's a passage headed, "The Offer of Life or Death." "Now what I am commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, 'Who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it?' Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, 'Who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it?' No, the word is very near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. See, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. For I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in his ways, and to keep his commands, decrees and laws. Then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess." Father, we pray that in your mercy you would open our eyes, our hearts, our ears, that we might hear you today. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, this year at this time, we're following the theme of journeying together, aware that God is taking us on a journey, and often speak about our spiritual journey, where each one of us on a spiritual journey of our own, that Jesus has spoken to us, and the words that were spoken to the first disciples are the same words that effectively come to us. Come, follow me. Never mind about your neighbor or your friend or your family. You come and follow me. Begin this journey. Follow after Jesus. But there is also a journey we make together. We stand together in the church and we say we're all on this journey. And we can learn from one another. We can help one another. We can hear God's voice together. We can be better together than we are alone. And as we think about journeying together today, we're going to be thinking about listening to God. And a moment ago in our reading, we read this. The word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart that you may obey it. About listening to God. The word is very near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart that you may obey it. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I shared some of this, and last week again, that as a church together, we've had the experience, the challenge, the encouragement of listening to God and seeking to hear what he has to say to us. Sometimes it feels as though listening to God is not an easy thing to do. We seem to listen in all the wrong places. But God, in his mercy and in his kindness, when he speaks, he makes it clear to us. And for us as a church, I told the story before of how for years we have been thinking about what we should do with our buildings. There's been this sense of dissatisfaction, of not quite feeling at home with our premises and where we are. Ever since I've been here, certainly, in the last 12 or 13 years, been praying, asking God, what should we be doing? Where should we be going? What is it you want us to do? And together we have taken time to pray. We've had all sorts of opportunities to pray about our buildings, our premises, and what we should do. And in particular, we've had, over the last couple of years, we've had weeks of prayer where we've together been able to pray Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, on with the focus of praying about our buildings together. We've had opportunity to discuss what we should do about our buildings. And we've prayed again and we've discussed some more. And what we discovered was that very quickly, when we did this, when we prayed together and had a week of prayer, God responded to us. The only problem was that at the time, I'm not sure we realized that God was speaking to us, that he'd answered our prayers. And if you're anything like me, then when we pray and God answers, sometimes it takes a while before we come back and go, oh yeah, that's what God said. And as a church, that's been true. Because we prayed, we discussed, and we had a week of prayer, and it was during the week of prayer that God responded very clearly. But we thought, now we need to pray some more. We need to be clear about this. And so we prayed and we looked and we thought, well, maybe there are other premises in the center of town that we could be looking at buying or renting and moving all of the activities of our church there. It drew a blank. We thought, well, let's send John out into the town. He's done this kind of stuff professionally. We want to know, are there plots of land in the center of town particularly that we could buy and we could build on? And that's what we could do. And then we had great discussions together about what we should do. We had days away together thinking about, well, what is God saying to us about this? And God said, I've already told you what you should be doing. And of course we said, well, yes, that's all very well, but it doesn't quite fit what we thought we should be doing. It doesn't fit in with our ideas. So we prayed again. And we struggled. And it seemed as though God was closing doors as fast as we were trying to open them with all the different things that we looked at, the possibilities, the opportunities that we had before us. And we made all sorts of plans. And we prayed. And it all the time seemed to come to nothing. And then finally, we said, maybe God has already told us what to do. Maybe God has already told us what to do. Maybe it was back during that first week of prayer that we had that God responded. We had an answer. Maybe that's what we should have been focusing on right from the beginning. And this map, I think I've put up the last couple of weeks. This is, let me just point out, this is where we are as a church. This is Workman Bridge. And Bridge Street, here's Port Street going up here and so on. And this is Benchworth over here. And that's a map of our present location. And maybe we said, maybe God has already told us what to do. Maybe it was in that first week of prayer when we had a response. Well, it didn't sound like it was from God straight away because it was just a letter. John received a letter from some solicitors in Minehead and they said, a lady, Miss Bayliss, has died and left you some land. And it turned out it was 4 acres of land. And maybe it was that God had already spoken to us this gift that God had given us. Right at the moment we prayed together, a letter was sent and we received it. And maybe it was that God was saying, come on, it's right there. It's blindingly obvious to you. How could you possibly have missed it the first time round? But we did. And the reality is, in our own lives, we miss it so often. We pray, God answers, and we don't see it. We don't get it. And this is our experience as a church. Maybe God has already told us what to do. Maybe it is clear to us. And I would want to say this, that in my experience, and I would stress that this is my experience. It might be that your experience is different to mine or slightly different to mine. But in my experience, when God speaks, it is obvious. Now just think about that for a moment. For me, in my experience, when God speaks, it is obvious that he has spoken. Now, just let it rest. Is that true? When God speaks, it is obvious. Now, I've got scripture to back me up here, which is always good. What did we put up earlier? The word is very near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart that you may obey it. When God speaks, he puts it in your heart and in your mouth. He puts it right close to you. It's not up in heaven, so you have to say, okay, somebody, can you go and get God's word for me? No. It's not across the sea that we have to send emissaries across the sea and say, there's a message there from God, go and get it and bring it back to us. No. When God speaks, he puts it close to you. He puts it in your heart. He puts it in your mouth so that you may obey it. Now, that is my experience. And I can give a number of different examples of how that has worked for me. And it might be that as I do this, you identify with that and say, absolutely, that's how it was for me in reality. About listening to God. See, I can think about the occasion when, I would say, my conversion happened. When I first responded to God. And I've told the story before about when I was 12 years old. I was at school. I was talking with somebody at school. To be honest, I was trying to avoid the conversation, but there seemed to be no way of avoiding this particular person. He wanted to talk to me about God, about Jesus, about God's love for me, about the fact that Jesus had died on the cross for me. And my awareness was that at that moment, that Tuesday lunchtime, November 1977, God spoke to me. God had spoken to me. And it was clear. Another example I can use was of what I would term my call to ministry. My call from God to go and train to be a minister. You see, when I was perhaps 16, 17, 18, I was very involved in the Christian Union at school. And I was very passionate about God. And I loved God and I wanted to serve him. And I kind of thought, well, maybe this is something I should be doing. I remember my deputy head at school taking me aside one day, and I think it was, he had to speak to all of us, you know, kind of, what are you going to do with your miserable life, you know, that kind of thing. And, you know, he had me into his office, sat me the other side of his desk, said, so Pillar, surnames only, Pillar, what are you going to do with your life? I don't know what I said, but he said, have you thought of becoming a vicar? And immediately, I thought, no way. Must be nuts to do that. And there was a period of me just saying, hang on, I don't want to do this. And then the sense of maybe God is calling me to this, and no, I'd be nuts. Why would I do that? Why would I put myself through it? Maybe I should, but... And there was this service at St. Colford Baptist Church where we were members. The church was having a new church built, and so we had to meet in local schools for our Sunday worship. And we were meeting in one school called John Wilmot School, and there's a visiting preacher. Now, I can only remember his name as Brian. Can't remember what his surname is. I should. Can't remember. But I remember he preached his sermon, and it was kind of, yeah, whatever. We had a final hymn, and it was like, yeah, whatever. And then he was just about to pray his closing prayer, his blessing, and he went, I just sensed that God's speaking to me right now because there's somebody here who's resisting his call to serve him. And at that instant, I knew those words were for me. And I just, you know, that's literally physically what I did. I just shrugged my shoulders. No. But I knew then that God has spoken. And the point being, it was obvious. Maybe it was that before that point, God had not clearly spoken to me. But at that point, it was obvious. I can talk about a time when I was a minister and I trained and I was a minister in Thornton Heath. And I was walking one day in Thornton Heath. I used to walk perhaps an hour, sometimes 2 hours every day, sometimes half an hour, I guess, and I would just talk to God or just be with him. I was struggling with my prayer life at the time, and I got to the point of saying, well, I can't do this, but what I can do is walk. And I used to step out my house onto the pavement and say, okay, Lord, I'm here. And then I used to walk. Sometimes I'd say something, sometimes I wouldn't. But it was like, okay, we're together. And I was whinging at God about my life, you know, whatever. Being ungrateful, probably, about what I got. You know, why do I have to, do any of you know Thornton Heath? Some of you know Thornton Heath. I mean, it is not the most glamorous place in the world to live. And I just thought, hey, why couldn't I be a minister somewhere nice? You know, somewhere middle class and comfortable. And wouldn't it have been great? And I was just having this whinge, oh God, about this. And God spoke. And this is what he said very clearly. I brought you here to teach you things about myself. And my reaction was, no, hang on, I've come to Thornley, my first church, to learn how to be a minister, to learn how to preach, to learn how to pastor, to learn how to be a leader. That's why I'm here, God. And immediately the words just came back, I brought you here to teach you things about myself. And I knew in that moment that God had spoken. It was blindingly obvious that God had spoken to me. And there was nothing I could do about it. There's no way I could avoid it. But God had spoken. When God speaks, in my experience, when God speaks, it is obvious. I remember the experience I had coming to Evesham Baptist Church. I had contact with John Darby, who was the church secretary way back then. And he asked me to come up and meet the deacons of the church one. Martin, you were one, weren't you? Just before Christmas. Must have been 1994. And I came up, and to be honest, I had to look on a map to find out where Evesham was. I didn't know, you know, if you live in Thornton Heath, it's kind of, you're lost, you know. So you have to find a map to get your way out. And I found Evesham, and as I was driving up, I had 2 or 3 hours on the motorway. I thought, okay, right, I'm going to meet the deacons. How will I know if God is in this? And I prayed. I won't tell you what I prayed, but I prayed something very specifically. And I met the deacons. And I have to say that it was abundantly clear that everything fitted. Everything I'd prayed in the car in a very relaxed way. You know, I wasn't beating myself or very passionate about it. It was just, Lord, if this is the place, then I need this and this. And it just fitted. Absolute. And for me, I could come home, and whatever else I said, I could come home and say, yeah, that's the place. And it was clear to me. See, God had spoken. Now, that is my experience. Listening to God, when God speaks, it is obvious. When God opens his mouth and says something to us, then it's not hidden away. It's not in heaven, so we have to go and send somebody up there to get it. It's not across the sea, so that we have to search it out. When God speaks to us, it'll be there. The future of the church. You know, I've already mentioned, we prayed together and a gift arrived that fitted our prayers, what we were praying for. And it might not have been what we thought we'd get. And God wonderfully, isn't it true? God wonderfully, when he answers our prayers, he doesn't always give us what we think we should have, but he gives us what he knows we need, what is good for us for the future. And God had spoken. God had spoken to us then. And it was that obvious. As we reflect, we can surely say, yes, God spoke to us about our premises, about moving, about doing something new and decisive. for our church and for this town. Do you know, we've just celebrated last year, we've celebrated 275 years of Baptist witness in this town. In 275 years from now, although it won't be, that would be a funny number, wouldn't it? You know, in, what would it be? You know, 225 years perhaps. And our 500th anniversary. Do you know, people will look back to this period, even 2008, and say either they heard God and they changed the Baptist Church in Evesham forever, or they missed what God was saying. But they will look back to this time. Do you remember last week I told, spoke very briefly about something of our history and the fact that Baptist witness started in Bengeworth and it started in a barn and the barn was burned down and it moved and so on. You know, it has moved around. And God has spoken to us about our response to him and about what we need to be doing. So let's just ask the question, why do we sometimes not hear? Why do we sometimes not hear what God has said? Five things, very simply. Sometimes we don't even realize that God has spoken what he has. Sometimes we don't even realize. We don't hear, we don't realize it. It might be that we're not listening. For whatever reason, we're just not tuned in to what God is saying. And we're not listening. It might be that we've not been expecting him to say anything. Have you ever been like that? You know, your reflection. I've been praying and praying and praying for something. But in your heart of hearts, you're not expecting God to say anything. You don't really believe he's going to do anything about it. And it's kind of, an answer's given. But because you're not expecting it, you just don't hear it. You don't see it. Perhaps we haven't been expecting anything. Perhaps we've been so set on another course of action that it just doesn't fit. We go, hang on, no, that can't be it. And we dismiss what God says to us. Perhaps it is, as I think we did as a church. I think we said, it's all too obvious. It's too easy. It should be more difficult than this. You know, if you pray and you ask God and God answers, well, we need to fast a bit more and we need to pray a bit more. It needs to be difficult, surely. In my experience, when God speaks, it is obvious. Now, I read earlier from Deuteronomy, and I read these words. The word is very near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart so that you may obey it. It is not too difficult or beyond us. If God has spoken to us in terms of our praying for our buildings, in terms of what we want to do, if this is God speaking to us, then it is not too difficult for us. It is not beyond us. Do we get that? It is not too difficult. It's not beyond us. We may not understand it right now. We may not know the answers. We may not know the route we have to go. But if God is in it, if God has spoken, it is not too difficult. That's what Moses said to the people. It's not too difficult and it's not beyond you. But it's not spiritually distant from you. It's not up in heaven. It's not like you've got to become suddenly or better Christians or better disciples in order to discern now what God is saying or why he's saying it. It's not spiritually distant from you. You might think, well, I'm not worthy to hear anything from God. Well, the wonderful thing is when God speaks, he says, it's not too difficult, it's not beyond you, and it's not spiritually distant. It's not up in heaven now because I've spoken. Neither is it physically distant from you. We haven't got to go anywhere to find this. The scripture says it is near us. It is already within us. And you say, well, how do we know it's already within us? If you have heard what I've said over the last few weeks, if it has gone into your ears and into your heads, the word of God is in you.
It's there. Now we can do stuff with that, but it's there. And that's what Moses said to the people. I've given you God's word. You heard me say it. It's in you. And it's there so that you might obey it. So you might walk in the light. You might do the things perhaps you'd never dared to do before, but God's spoken so that you might obey it and in that you might live. The word is very near you. It's in your mouth. It's in your heart so that you might obey it. May we as a church take courage, tremendous encouragement from God that he's spoken to us as a church. What we need to do is say, what must we do? Let's take a moment and let's pray together. Father, thank you that you are a God who speaks to us. Father, thank you that you speak because that is a sign of friendship, of relationship. You speak not just to command us, but you speak words of love and kindness. And Father, while today we reflect upon the word that you've spoken to us as a church, we'd also reflect upon the words that you've spoken to us as individuals. It may be that today, Father, we need to be reminded that you have spoken to us. And in whatever form it's come, you've spoken to us and you've said, come, follow me. And if we've heard those words, the word of God is in us. And we need to respond in obedience. Father, we ask for your kindness. We ask for your grace. We ask for your mercy. Keep us from error. Keep us in the light. Fill our hearts with joy as we follow after Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Amen.